It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
The vote is on in New York and Pennsylvania. Good afternoon. It is primary day in PA, school budget day in New York. We'll start with the primary. Pennsylvania voters deciding a couple key statewide referendums today that, if passed, would rein in Governor Wolf's pandemic power.
Referendum number one and number two. Both restores checks and balances on an out-of-control governor.
Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
We've seen what happens when executive powers go wild. There's no recourse, no checks, no balances.
Registered independents allowed to participate in today's primary. And in New York, voters heading to the polls today deciding their school budgets and the makeup of their school boards. COVID restrictions last year postponed the vote, and this year people seem fired up about things like school closures and mask mandates that could lead to greater turnout.
Generally, only about 10% of the eligible voters actually vote, and I guess whatever it takes to get people to come out is a good thing.
Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute.
One of the important things today is that there are 1,500 open school board seats that are going to be filled by the voters. And this actually represents about 30% of all school board seats in the state. So it's really important today that people come out and vote.
Polls are open till 8 in Pennsylvania, 9 p.m. in New York. A prosecutor in North Carolina says he will not charge the police officers who shot and killed a drug dealer as he was attempting to back his car out of his driveway. 42-year-old Andrew Brown Jr. shot several times in the back of the head. The DA calls the use of deadly force justified.
Mr. Brown's death, while tragic, was justified because Mr. Brown's actions caused three deputies with the Pasquotank County Sheriff's Office to reasonably believe it was necessary to use deadly force to protect themselves and others.
Overseas in the Holy Land. Israeli airstrikes destroyed a six-story building in Gaza today. Hamas militants fired dozens more rockets into Israel. Aid workers on the ground there say the violence is taking a toll.
The population is terrified. They've started moving from their homes because they no longer feel safe. All I can say is, as a humanitarian, stop the war, stop the violence.
Israel says the main aim here is to destroy terrorist tunnels used by Hamas to attack the Jewish state. NBC's Richard Engel is in the middle of a Palestinian protest in Gaza.
And this is the way the protests develop. They throw stones at the Israeli soldiers. When the Israelis feel it is too intense, they fire with either rubber bullets or tear gas. And if it escalates further, they fire with live ammunition. So some people do get killed at demonstrations like this.
President Biden under fire from members of his own party for saying that Israel has the right to self-defense. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
The president and many other figures this week stated that Israel has a right to self-defense. But do Palestinians have a right to survive?
AOC and other members of the so-called squad are blasting the president for supporting a weapons sale to Israel. Former Congressman Trey Gowdy.
Democrats are having a really difficult time telling our allies from terrorist organizations. I tell you what, the squad is on the verge of doing something no other group of Democrats can do by themselves, which is guarantee that Kevin McCarthy is the next Speaker of the House.
A group of 20 Senate Republicans plan to introduce a resolution this week supporting Israel and condemning Hamas. COVID deaths in this country are at their lowest level in more than a year, and President Biden continues to keep the pressure on the unvaccinated. He says those who refuse the shot will pay a price.
If the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up. Those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
For the first time since the pandemic began, COVID cases are down in all 50 states. Healthcare professionals in Japan are calling for the cancellation of the upcoming Summer Olympics.
The delayed 2020 Olympics are just 2 months away, but a doctors group in Japan is calling for the event to be canceled amid fears the nation's healthcare system could be overwhelmed by COVID. The Tokyo medical practitioners now asking the IOC to cancel the event that will bring thousands of athletes, coaches, and media to the country. The doctors say their hospitals are already at capacity and the Olympics could be a tipping point. New COVID infections in Japan are still near record high levels. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Get paid to get a job. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not in Connecticut. Governor Ned Lamont plans to give $1,000 signing bonuses to the first 10,000 long-term unemployed in his state who land a job.
With the economy humming again, we got to do a better job of getting people back to work.
Lamont says the signing bonus is necessary because of Connecticut's labor shortage problem. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, another entry in the New York governor's race. We'll tell you who he is. More on the big votes today in New York and PA and the mask debate in the Empire State.
Well, good afternoon to all. The beautiful weather pattern continues. We'll address how long it might last. Coming up in the forecast, we'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. As mentioned at the top of the broadcast, it is time to vote in New York and PA. Turnout expected to be higher than usual for both primary day in Pennsylvania and school budget day in New York. Family Life's Bill Price.
Yeah, we'll start in New York, where voters will decide school budgets today and the makeup of their local school boards. COVID-19 protocols and school closures earlier this year will mean an increase in voter turnout. Lots of interest in schools these days. In Pennsylvania, COVID front and center too this primary day. Voters will decide whether to rein in Governor Wolf's pandemic powers. There's also three statewide races for judicial positions in Pennsylvania. Polls open till 8 tonight in the Commonwealth. In New York, you're going to have to check with your local school district for voting times and places. Bill Price, Family Life News.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. The son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is running for governor of New York. Andrew Giuliani joins three other Republicans in the race. The 35-year-old served as a White House aide to former President Trump. Despite having never run for public office before, Giuliani insists he stands the best chance of toppling the embattled three-term incumbent Andrew Cuomo. Well, just one more day to go before New Yorkers who are fully vaccinated can take off the face mask in most public places. Governor Cuomo says he understands if people are apprehensive at first.
I expect there are going to be a lot of people who are not just going to flick a switch and be over this. I think there's going to be lingering concern.
The governor's lifting the mask mandate after getting pressure from county leaders. Public reaction to the newfound face freedom is, as you might expect, mixed.
I'm all for it. I think they're ridiculous and they don't do anything.
For me, not having to wear the mask means I can breathe again.
I feel like until everyone is vaccinated, everyone still should be wearing masks.
I would just ask everyone, let's not blame, let's not shame one way or the other. If someone chooses to wear a mask, you've got to respect that. You don't know what their story is. You don't know what their reasons are.
The mask mandates are being lifted on the same day that capacity limits come off at all New York restaurants. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro says it's also time to lift New York's state of emergency.
I think that restoring the state and local balance is necessary now. And so we are no longer in a state of emergency.
Masks are still required on public transit, at hospitals, and in schools. Businesses still have the authority to make their own mask rules, and they can ask people to show proof of vaccination. Well, the last time the COVID case count was this low in the Commonwealth was 225 days ago. You have to go back to October 5th of last year. That's the last time that Pennsylvania's COVID case count numbered fewer than 1,000. Yesterday, the state reported just 872 new cases in all 67 counties. Pennsylvania State Police are hopping mad at Governor Wolf for trashing them in a recent Juneteenth proclamation. The governor suggested in his memo that gains made toward equality are stymied by acts of police brutality toward African Americans.
It's disgusting, and he owes us an apology.
Dave Kennedy is president of the Pennsylvania State Troopers Association.
For the governor to use that platform to continue to drive the false narrative that police officers are murdering racists is despicable.
The Reverend Frank Allen with the NAACP.
It's not a false narrative. Death by policemen in the black community is real. It's as real as you and I standing here. And there's racism there.
The governor says his comments were not directed at the state police. He was just stating a fact. But what has angered cops is that the governor's memo was issued during police week, a time when slain officers are remembered.
It's a slap in the face to every police officer. That he spit in our faces.
The state troopers are also frustrated that Governor Wolf prioritized smokers ahead of them when it comes to vaccine eligibility. Good government groups are blasting Governor Cuomo's pandemic book, which netted him more than $5 million in profits. Blair Horner with the New York Public Interest Research Group.
It's a staggering sum for the highest paid governor in the country to be getting a $5 million book deal.
The governor is under fire for reportedly using his staff to help write that book.
I think it's certainly worth the legislature digging deeper to see how this played out.
Critics say it was inappropriate for the governor to enrich himself with a self-congratulatory book that was published as people were dying from the virus. The head of Pennsylvania's largest teachers union calling for in-person instruction in the fall. He wants schools open for business 100%.
Pennsylvania State Education Association President Rich Askey is encouraging districts to make face-to-face instruction in accordance with the health and safety recommendations of state and national health experts a top priority in the next school year. He also said that the federal funds from the American Rescue Plans that districts are receiving should allow them to invest in bridging learning gaps and address the mental, social, and emotional needs of students. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. A new challenge for the struggling restaurant industry just as COVID restrictions are loosened. Many eateries are finding it difficult to fill job openings. It's a problem employers are facing nationwide. Kamala Keeley is CEO of the Chemung County Chamber of Commerce.
We're seeing a lot of restaurants that are normally lunch and dinner establishments who are open for dinner only just because they just can't get enough cooks, enough wait service. They just don't have the staffing options right now.
Tomorrow, restaurants throughout New York will be allowed to open up at 100% capacity, and that will necessitate the need to hire more workers. It is workers they just cannot find right now. The first tickets for upcoming Toronto Blue Jays games at Salem Field in Buffalo went on sale today. Buffalo Bisons season ticket holders got first dibs. Seats will be available to the general public starting Thursday. The Blue Jays played several games at Salem Field last year due to the COVID crisis in Canada. Their first game this year is against the Miami Marlins on June 1st. Speaking of sports, we got more of that next. Sonny in with a two-minute drill, starting us off with a little beanball.
Let's start with Major League Baseball action. The Mets in Atlanta, bases loaded. Kevin Pillar up to bat.
Oh, and he hit him in the helmet. Oh, my.
Hit by a 94-mile-an-hour fastball to the face. Pillar suffered multiple nasal fractures. Manager Luis Rojas.
Our prayers are with, you know, with KP, you know, everyone here that feels for him, his family at home that probably watched that. You know, it's tough.
Mets win 3-1. The Cubs hit three homers off John Lester on their way to a 7-3 victory over the Nationals in Chicago. Gerrit Cole set the Major League record since 1900 for the most consecutive strikeouts without a walk, 61. But then he allowed season highs of 5 runs and 7 hits before being pulled in the 6th. Yankees fall 5-2 to the Rangers. What had happened was...
I threw some good curveballs. I threw some terrible ones. I threw a good slider and I threw a bad one. I threw a good fastball. I just couldn't string, you know, wasn't stringing 3, 4, 5 pitches together in a row.
Stanley Cup playoffs.
Grislick slides it across. Score! Marchand wins it!
Brad Marchand scored the fastest playoff overtime goal in the Bruins' history as they beat the Capitals 4-3. That's 12 straight games between Washington and Boston, decided by 1 point. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, the Hurricanes got 2 goals from Jordan Staal. They breezed by the Predators 5-2. Avalanche with 3 goals in the third beat the Blues 4-1.
Shot! It's through! It's hit across! And it's Robert Starr again!
The Marshall's men's soccer team beat Indiana in overtime to win their first College Cup championship. Thundering Herd became the first unseeded team to win a national title since Santa Clara in 2006. The Santa Clara University women's team won the soccer national championship for the first time in 20 years. They beat number one seed Florida State 4-1 in a shootout. The NBA play-in tips off tonight. The Eastern Conference with the Pacers hosting the Hornets, Celtics hosting the Wizards. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiet.
All right, he gets it done. Thank you, Sonny. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, we'll tell you how Texas is beating COVID without trampling on your freedoms. The origins of the pandemic, there's a new report on that today. Plus, a hometown hero from Hornell, New York, helping to feed the poor.
All of our explorations into intelligent design remind us of what we intuitively know and what Scripture affirms. There's more to our minds than the matter between our ears. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Artificial intelligence is one of the new normals of contemporary life. Every time we access data on the web, every customer service call we make, every ordering process we start involves not just using, but communicating with machines. Smartphones, smart cars, smart networks, artificial minds are now the gatekeepers of information, transportation, and commerce. Now, in science fiction, of course, this story always ends up with computers evolving past and outclassing human minds. Sometimes they're dangerous. Sometimes they're helpful. And sometimes, most unsettling, we can't tell the difference between robots and humans. Lurking behind this fantasy is an important question. What actually happens if we do create something that's smarter than us? Despite not having the answer to that question, computer engineers, neuroscientists continue to push science fiction into science fact. Now, the problem with all of these efforts, a recent article in the online magazine Salon notes, is that the quest for artificial intelligence tends to, quote, treat intelligence computationally. So, attempts to recreate and even surpass the computational abilities of the human brain have largely succeeded. Computers can certainly compute faster than the human mind, can even play games and analyze images faster and better than humans. And yet at the same time, there's real doubt as to whether machines are anywhere near matching real wits with their creators. According to a piece last year in The Guardian, quote, despite the vast number of facts being accumulated, our understanding of the brain appears to be approaching an impasse. You see, it's estimated that about 95% of brain activity involves what are called spontaneous fluctuations. These are neural impulses independent of conscious thought and outside influence. Now, that's a problem that just shuts the machines down. As the Salon piece puts it, for computers, spontaneous fluctuations create errors that crash the system. For our brains, it's a built-in feature. Uniquely human thought arises from this chaos, unpredictable and unreproducible. What we think of as intelligence, in other words, like reason, logic, and processing, might instead be the end result of consciousness, not the means of achieving consciousness. Now, Salon's analysis is helpful, but it's still limited because it misses something essential. Their analysis still assumes that the mind and the brain are identical, that there's nothing more to our minds than meat. While this is a common assumption and a necessary belief of a naturalistic worldview, this is still a worldview that will never be big enough to explain human cognition, much less motivation and behavior. It was David Glertner's analysis, given 20 years ago after a chess-playing program called Deep Blue beat the world's top player, that says it even better. Quote, how can an object that wants nothing, fears nothing, enjoys nothing, needs nothing, and cares about nothing have a mind? What are its after-match plans if it actually wins? Is it hoping to take Deep Pink out for a night on the town? It doesn't care about chess or anything else. It plays the game for the same reason that a calculator adds or a toaster toast, because it is a machine designed for that purpose. Even though we've made great strides in understanding certain elements of our biology as well as our ability to imitate certain behaviors with machines, it's still only that, just an imitation. Or as Glertner put it, computers do what we make them do, period. However sophisticated a computer's performance, it's still just a performance. See, the more we learn of the brain and of human consciousness, the more it affirms humans are more than meaty machines. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Thanks, John. The good times keep coming at the Weather Center. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, pleasantly warm, the high in the 70s, though cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clear tonight, low temperatures mainly 50s. Sunny, warm tomorrow, temperatures reach the 70s to near the low 80s away from the lakes. And Thursday, some sun, chance of a thunder shower. High temperatures Thursday in the low and mid 80s.
All right, time to break out the shorts. Thanks, Kev. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Here's what's going on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of May, justified. That's how a prosecutor in North Carolina today described the controversial police shooting of a drug dealer struck in the back of the head several times while trying to back out of his car, or back his car, out of his driveway. The DA just a few moments ago.
No officer will be criminally charged. The officer's actions were consistent with their training and fully supported under the law in protecting their lives in this community.
The district attorney says 42-year-old Andrew Brown Jr. was using his vehicle as a weapon, tried to run over those cops who were trying to serve an arrest warrant. The deadly struggle between Israel and Hamas shows no signs of abating. President Biden urging a ceasefire, but stresses the Jewish state has every right to defend itself against Hamas rockets. Robert Berger has the latest from Jerusalem.
Israeli airstrikes toppled a six-story building at the Hamas-affiliated Islamic University in Gaza as Palestinians fired dozens of rockets at southern Israel.
Israel Defense Forces targeting their attacks on Hamas tunnels the terrorists used to launch rockets at Jewish population centers. 3,000 Hamas rockets have been fired since last week. Today, the only power plant in Gaza will likely run out of fuel, plunging the Palestinian territory into darkness. Some lawmakers on Capitol Hill are calling for an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Did a lab leak in Wuhan, China, unleash this plague on the rest of the world? Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
We should not be satisfied, given that millions have died based on COVID-19, with having only circumstantial evidence.
Cruz says there are two labs in Wuhan, which he claims are controlled by the Chinese communists.
Including one virology lab that is literally 400 yards away from the wet market where the outbreak occurred.
U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken says he supports the investigation into the origins of the virus. For the first time since the pandemic began, the number of COVID cases is down in all 50 states. Never happened before now. In the state of Texas, there were zero COVID deaths yesterday. Governor Greg Abbott took heat from the left when he lifted that state's mask mandate back in March.
All the liberals and all the media in the state of Texas issued the same declaration. Some people said that I had issued a death warrant. And here's the difference. The people on the Democrat side, they want to push narratives, whereas what I was looking at was both math and science. So all the numbers of moving in the right direction. And not only did we open up 100%, but we also removed the mask mandate, and all of these numbers improved after we opened up and after we removed the mask mandate.
President Biden criticized Texas when it lifted the mask mandate, calling it Neanderthal thinking. Correspondent Mula Lange has more on how states are recovering from the COVID.
Beginning tomorrow morning, mask restrictions will be lifted for vaccinated people in New York, with some exceptions like hospitals and public transportation. New York and California have almost the same vaccination rate, but California is keeping its mask mandates for at least another month. New Jersey still requires masks indoors, and while Pennsylvania has eased its restrictions, the city of Philadelphia has not. Major corporations are also easing their COVID restrictions. Target, CVS, Starbucks are just the latest companies to drop mask requirements for vaccinated customers in their stores. On the other hand, the Kroger grocery chain is keeping its mask mandate.
Big news from the world of politics today. The 35-year-old son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani announcing he's running for governor of New York.
Andrew Giuliani tells the New York Post he's a politician out of the womb and it's in his DNA, referring to growing up with his father as mayor of New York City. Andrew Giuliani has served as a White House aide to former President Trump. He's never ran for public office before, but will seek the Republican nomination for governor next year. Giuliani would first have to get by Congressman Lee Zeldin on Long Island and former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino in the primary before taking on Governor Cuomo. Scott Pringle, New York.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. It is now 25 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Sue Vanderlinden from Hornell, New York. She was recently honored in her community for doing what she does best, giving back. When I say the Sue Vanderlinden Community Food Cupboard, what do you think about?
It's an honor. You know, I didn't expect it and stuff like that, but I support it all the way and stuff like that. It's just, it is an honor to be recognized and stuff like that, too.
So I understand that you are a 70-year member of the First Baptist Church of Hornell?
Well, 70 years that I've been going there. I started at 2 years of age, and then I was baptized when I was 11, so It's been like that many years since I've been a member of the church.
Yeah, that's the only church you've known, though, for your entire life.
Yes. Yeah. All my life, yeah.
So we hear the word service, we hear the word volunteering. You think of those words and you talk to folks in that community, your name comes to mind. When you think of the word service and giving back, what does that mean to you?
It's a calling that I think that God has given me. I just feel that it's always been my way to help others out or do what I need to do to support, like, the church or the community and stuff like that.
Well, talk to us about the food pantry there at the First Baptist Church and just the impact that it's had on the Hornell community.
Well, right now, I mean, we've only been going for a few months, but every day we check it and stuff like that, and stuff's being taken and stuff, and that with COVID and everything in the low incomes and stuff like that around, it's needed.
Mm.
You know, there's not too many other food banks or anything like that that's going on. We had a gentleman from the church, he built the cupboard and stuff, and we just started putting food and stuff like that.
So the cupboard never closes, as does hunger. I mean, hunger never takes a time off. So this cupboard is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's really cool how it's stocked and how it's run. Can you share with us the logistics of that, Sue?
We just keep stocking up. People in the church, you know, have donated. We've had people outside the church have donated to the food and stuff like that. On the sign that says, take what you need and give what you can do.
Yeah.
So anybody can give to it.
Yeah, it's amazing when you put the call out there for people to step up. More times than not, they do it. And a lot of people are hurting financially because of this pandemic, but it's neat to see that generosity when people, they could take everything if they wanted to, but they don't. And not only do they not take, they give.
Right, yep. It doesn't take much when you go to the grocery store or whatever, pick up an extra can of food or an extra box of something, cereal, you know, and that's what's needed.
How's it make you feel to know that years, decades from now, when people stop by this pantry, they're going to see your name on it?
Like I said, it's an honor, and it just makes me feel good. You know, you put a spark in somebody's mind that God loves you and other people love you too.
That's Sue Vanderlinden from Hornell, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for that. Your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org. Just click on the news icon.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. What you see is what you get weather-wise today and tomorrow. That is to say, more beautiful weather under friendly high pressure. Now, by Thursday, a weak disturbance across the area. That might spark a stray shower, but no widespread rains are foreseen the rest of this week. For this afternoon, plenty of sunshine, pleasantly warm, the high in the 70s, though cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clear tonight, low temperatures mainly 50s. Sunny, warm tomorrow, temperatures reach the 70s to near the low 80s away from the lakes. And Thursday, some sun, chance of a thundershower. High temperatures Thursday in the low and mid 80s.
All right, Kevin, sounds good to me. Finally at noon, something new at the airport.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
The nation's airplanes could soon start weighing you before you board your flight.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
The FAA is concerned aircraft may be overloaded due to America's obesity epidemic. The airline industry has been asked to measure people poundage on all flights. We're not kidding. Passengers will be selected at random to step on the scales. Purely voluntary. You don't have to do it, but they are looking for folks to volunteer. Air carriers do these sorts of surveys every few years, and the weight on the scales, we're told, is strictly confidential. For my sake, it had better be. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, May 18th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.